The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I wonder if you've ever had an unexpected invitation to a party. I wonder if you've ever been to a royal garden party. Perhaps has someone been here to Buckingham Palace? Well, I've never been invited for tea with the Queen, but I have had tea with a president. In 1999, I was in Kenya attending council meetings of the organization that Kathy and I were working for then in Africa. The headquarters of the organization were in Nairobi, Kenya. And while the meetings of that council were taking place over a number of days, we received an invitation from the president of Kenya. Then the president was Daniel Arap Moi. And he invited us as a council to attend State House for a reception with him and his wife and some of government officials. He wanted to acknowledge the good work that we had done as an organization over 100 years in Kenya. Now, of course, we were honored to accept this very unexpected invitation, but the problem was that I had traveled from Namibia and I'd not packed any suits or jackets or ties or anything particularly posh for our council meetings. So I shared this dilemma, and so a number of fairly strange-looking jackets were produced and unusual ties, which I would not be seen in dead. Not that it really matters when you're dead, but... And so me and another gentleman, we had to take our pick from these clothes. Well, I managed to borrow a jacket that was rather on the large side for me, and an even more inappropriate tie. But anyway, apparently a tie was better than no tie. Perhaps I should have thought about that tonight. But gratefully, the president didn't seem to notice anything, even though I did have to pull up my sleeve to actually get my hand out to shake hands with him when we met. It was a memorable afternoon. We sat on the presidential lawns. We sipped different types of tea, making polite conversation with the president and his wife and some government officials. Now, of course, had I known beforehand, I would have packed some proper clothes to go to the garden party in. It was totally unexpected. And that sense of the unexpected shapes our theme, really, for our Christmas service this evening. Christmas at my house, party people. We're thinking about those shepherds that we just read about in Luke's Gospel, who had such an unexpected invitation to a celebration, to a party. It came completely out of the blue. Well, out of the dark blue, really. Out of the night sky of Judea. Group of shepherds. They were there looking after their sheep on the hillside. just outside Bethlehem, and suddenly an angelic being interrupted their fireside chat. Luke tells us, as we read, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." So without further hesitation, the shepherds got up. They hurried into Bethlehem, Luke says, and found it just as the angel had told them. They returned to their fields and to their jobs, full of praise to God for what they'd seen and heard. These shepherds were among the few privileged people to be invited to those first Christmas celebrations. Now, I want to suggest for a few moments tonight that there are a number of interesting ways in which we and the shepherds can share in the experience of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I know none of us are shepherds here. Well, I don't think there's any shepherds here. There's one or two farmers maybe, and perhaps you've got sheep, so I suppose you might qualify. But not shepherds in this sense. There's not many shepherds here. But we can still sing their song. We can still share the shepherd's joy. We can join the party. We can enjoy the celebrations, just as they did. How? Well, here's the first similarity between us and the shepherds, I think. We share in their ordinariness. We share in their ordinariness. You see, here were these shepherds, just ordinary people. In fact, we don't even know any of their names. They weren't famous. They remain anonymous, insignificant really. There they were outside Bethlehem on the hillside, just as they had been day in, day out, night by night, just doing their jobs. They were engaged in the mundane business of living. They were doing what they needed to do to provide for their families, to put food on the table, to put clothes on their backs. That night on the Judean hillside, it was just like any other night. The chores had been done, the sheep counted into their pens, they'd been checked and watered and settled down for the night, another log had been thrown on the fire, and the talk, of course, was all about the crowds down in the town. Travelers from all over the country had arrived because of the census. The hotels were full. The B&Bs were overflowing. And all in all, of course, it was good for business. Suddenly, there was a presence amongst them. The hair on their heads stood up. There was a tingling down their backs and fear gripped their stomachs. Who or what was this strange messenger appearing among them, telling them about a birth that they shouldn't miss, giving them an invitation to a celebration, a party that they shouldn't turn down. And in an instant, everything was different. So from complaining about the sheep, the night was transformed into rejoicing about a shepherd, the Messiah, the shepherd of Israel, as Matthew told us in that reading, the one promised for centuries before. And they, these shepherds, of all people, were the ones who'd been chosen to go and see him. In the ordinariness of their lives, they experienced life-changing, eternity-originating grace. They were visited by angels who told them not to be afraid, and they heard and obeyed God's word. They met Jesus in the ordinariness of a stable, and they came away with a song in their hearts and good news on their lips as they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, says Luke. Now, doesn't this story give us hope too? I think it does. You see, the same could be said of us in many ways as can be said of the shepherds, can't it? We're not well known. In global terms, we're not particularly significant. We're not famous. Most of us, we spend our time working, doing what we know is needed to be done, living our lives as day blends into day and month goes into month. And the wonder of the truth of incarnation, that is God becoming a human being, is this, that God comes to us in our ordinariness. Human work is good. Human activity, human life is God-given. The incarnation affirms this. God is concerned with the creation. from the furthest galaxy to the smallest atom. God is concerned because God made it. He made matter. And matter matters to God. God put on human matter. Incarnation is God with human skin on. God coming to us in the ordinariness of life. He takes the mundane and he infuses it with majesty. And so what happens to us here and now in the ordinariness of life is of eternal cosmic importance and significance. That's what incarnation tells us. You see, there's no such thing actually as an ordinary human being. And so God was demonstrating by his choice of these humble shepherds to be the first to receive this great news of Christ's birth. He was demonstrating that Jesus was not going to be the savior of only the political and the social and the religious elite. Jesus was not going to be the savior only of kings and of governors or of popes and priests. Jesus is the savior of all, equally. He doesn't give preference to any group or any class. He doesn't discriminate on the basis of intelligence or education or wealth or profession or political power or social standing or any of these qualities that human beings we tend to judge each other by. No, his love is offered indiscriminately and unconditionally to anyone who, just like the shepherds, will believe the message and come and worship Christ as Savior and King. We share in their ordinariness. Secondly, I think we share in their alienation. We share in their alienation. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, it's not immediately obvious, but the backstory, as it were, the truth about these shepherds is important. The truth that the shepherds were the choice for an angelic visit simply because they were ordinary folk is surprising, but even more surprising is because in their day they were also regarded as outsiders, outcasts, rejected by the religious world especially of their time. Why? Well, because according to Jewish religious law, these men were unclean, ceremonially unclean. Their line of work with animals always prevented them from participating in the feasts and the holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. They were defiled and they were debarred from temple worship. Not only that, but shepherds, we are told, they were borderline social outcasts in their day. Since they were constantly on the move, looking for new pasture for their flocks, they were looked on with suspicion. Maybe perhaps in the way that some people today look upon migrant workers amongst us. Unfairly, they were often the scapegoat. They were accused of crimes of which they were not guilty. They were often accused of being thieves. If something went missing, oh, it was the shepherds, probably. They were not permitted to give testimony in a court. Their word wasn't considered trustworthy. They were outsiders in terms of society and religion. Men whose lifestyle defiled them and disqualified them. Now, again, whilst, of course, we are not subject to the same unfair alienation or rejection as the shepherds. We are not, as I said, literally shepherds. We're not rejected in that sense by our society. I do think that we share in a spiritual sense something of their alienation and of their offensiveness. How? Well, you see, according to God's standards, we all fall far short. When compared with his holiness, we are all unclean. We are all defiled by our thoughts or by our words or by our actions. There's not one of us that can say we are not ashamed of things that we have thought and said and done. We have offended against this pure and holy God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who has given us life. And furthermore, of course, we have defiled his creation. The world that God has made and has given us to live in and to enjoy. We only have to look at the world tonight, at our television screens, read the newspaper. We see so much that is offensive, cruel, unjust, wrong, evil. And this is a result of our disobedience to God's way. We are outcasts in that sense. We are alienated from God. We are excluded from the life of the ages. We are outsiders on the party. And our life and our lifestyle will only eventually end in despair and death, whether we consider that at a personal level or even at a social level. The only hope for us is not more education, though that is good. It's not further medicine, though that is good. The only hope for us and for this world is the truth of incarnation, the truth that we celebrate at Christmas, the truth that these shepherds celebrated with great joy, the truth that despite who we are and what we've done and the rejection we deserve because of our rejection of God, there is still an invitation to join the party by God's grace. There's that invitation to get up from the fires of our life by which we try to warm ourselves and find satisfaction and to go and see what God has done for us in the gift of Jesus, his Son, our Saviour. And that's the third and final way in which I think we can share in the shepherd's experience. We share in their ordinariness, we share in their alienation from God, but we also share in their opportunity. Their glorious opportunity. We share in their opportunity, even tonight, to respond to the invitation to meet Jesus. We share in their opportunity from a meeting with one who will change us. A life-changing meeting. Because you see, what the incarnation tells us is that although God meets us in the orderliness of our lives, there is more to life than just living. There's more to life than just work. God comes to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, to tell us, as he told these shepherds, that there's more to life than sheep. There's more to life than discussing the price of mutton. There's more to life than lighting fires in the night. There's more to life than chasing foxes off. There's more to life than the 9-to-5. There's more to life than pursuing a career, than getting married maybe, having a house, having a car, getting 2.4 children or whatever it is these days. There's more to life than material things. Incarnation tells us that there is a God who cares about this world, about its sadness and sorrow, about its disappointments and frustrations, about its injustices and about its death. And although God comes to us in the reality of our alienation, the message of the angels is a message of salvation. In David's town this day is born a Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord. You see, the incarnation shows us simply and clearly and so graciously what would otherwise blind us, dazzle us, frighten us, condemn us. It shows us the glory and the holiness of God. There, in the dirt of the stable, is the Holy One from the highest heaven. And yet he comes not to judge and to condemn, but to seek and to save, and to rescue, and to restore. Majesty in a manger. The Saviour in the straw. And even more remarkable is the truth that that Saviour in the straw of Bethlehem will grow up to be the Christ upon the cross outside Jerusalem. All our failures, all our fears, all our judgment, all our death will be carried by him, the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin by his sacrifice upon the cross. That's why it's good news of great joy that shall be for all people, because that means you and me, ordinary folk, like you and me. And we share in the shepherd's opportunity to know that joy, the peace of forgiveness, the hope of life again, as we respond to the message to come and worship. To see by faith this Christmas more than just a baby born in poverty, but the fulfillment of the desire of the ages. To see the marvelous and mysterious God now actual, now accessible to us in the child in the manger. and having seen and worshipped with all that we are transformed. We are changed. What's the result? Well, Luke tells us the shepherds returned. They went back to their sheep. Yes, life has to go on. Work has to be done. Schoolwork has to be finished. Washing has to be ironed. Agreements have to be kept. Business has to be resumed. We return to our lives, but now the ordinariness has been infused with wonder, a new power. We return now with new purpose and new hope. Now there's an intentionality about living that we didn't know before. Now at last there is the significance to existence that we all long for but can't quite locate. Now there is a new joy, a new motivation. Now there is strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. Such was the difference in their lives. They spread the word concerning this child. They couldn't keep it to themselves. So, this Christmas time, why don't you come to the party? Don't miss the opportunity to enjoy the party of a lifetime. Because yes, it is a lifetime experience. These celebrations go on and on. It's not just for Christmas, it's for life. They are eternal in their significance as we come to meet Jesus, as we worship at his feet. Because in Jesus, eternity met time. Jesus, the Word made flesh, he took the risk of reducing himself to what we could see and touch and listen to. Jesus, he's a living message that has bridged the huge communication gap between deity and humanity, between God and you. O maker of the galaxies, creator of each star, you rule the mountains and the seas, and yet, oh, here you are. You left the realms of fire and ice. Into a young girl's womb you came. Oh, God, this was a sacrifice. And nothing will ever be the same. So we share in the shepherd's joy as we come and worship Christ as Savior and King. As we have that life-changing encounter with the Christ of Bethlehem. Like the shepherds, we have nothing to bring, really. No presents. Not like the wise men, but it matters not. For what we are, we bring him. Our lives, our hearts, the lot. And as we come to him in total submission and gratitude, he changes us. He infuses the mundane with majesty and power and hope and purpose. That's the message of Christmas. That's the wonder of incarnation. That's why the shepherds, and that's why we, have reason to be joyful and to celebrate.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our service this evening. We thank you that we've been able to remember your coming. We thank you and praise you again for us. And we pray your blessing upon us as we fellowship together now and as we leave this place. We pray, and I pray for all here that we'd have a very happy Christmas and know you at the center. In your holy name, amen.